Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Sharon R. Mitchell Jr., Cook County Public Defender. I'm sure you heard that interview, even if you went back and listened to it. Do you dispute some of the numbers that the McHenry County State's Attorney was sharing?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I am not an expert on McHenry County. I'm here in Cook County. But, you know, I was very confused by some of the numbers. And quite frankly, I was confused about some of the claims. There were lots of people that were predicting that the passage of the Safety Act and the Pretrial Fairness Act would mean that the jails would empty out, no one would come to court, and there would be literally chaos in the streets. And you see lots of people from lots of different spaces basically saying that the decision to not make these decisions based on money and instead to make these decisions based on risk has been a positive. So I do think that the state's attorney is a little bit of an outlier when it comes to sober evaluations about kind of what is happening. But, you know, no law is perfect, and I think people are going to really work hard to continue to make sure it's in the best place possible.
Right, and when you have over 100 counties in the state of Illinois, everything is different based on each county. But, of course, the largest amount of people live in your county, in Cook County. And one of Canaley's claims was it involved 280%. He claimed there was a 280% increase in failures to appear. And I was asking, well, how many people are we talking? That sounds like a huge percentage. What's your take on that claim that there's been a 280% increase in failures to appear? If you don't know McHenry County, I'm sure you read what he published, if not heard what he said. Is that an issue in Cook County, and do you dispute those numbers in McHenry County?
Yeah, so I think there are folks that have published things, the Coalition to End Money Bond or the Illinois Network for Pretrial Justice has looked at the number of
failure to appear.
Number of warrants that have been issued in McHenry County, and they've actually found there's been a decrease in the amount of warrants issued. Again, I'm not an expert on McHenry County, so I don't want to speak to it. I will say we have, you know, talked about this here in Cook County, and what we've seen is basically a small drop in the percentage of failures appears when you look at the percentage. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act as if, every single person attends court. But what I can say, I think very strongly, is that the changes made by the Pretrial Fairness Act have not increased the amount of people that don't come to court. And if we want to have a conversation about improving those rates, I don't think that's about, like, money bond or not. It's about, like, what things can we do to ensure people can get to court, like court reminders, which we, you know, have started to see improvements on, like bus cards, like, you know, being able to, you know, bring your kids, right? The timing. Like, if we're really, truly concerned about we want to improve rates, I totally understand that. I think we'd be having a different conversation. So that's just my perspective as somebody who represents, or our office who represents lots of folks who are expected to come to court.
Sharon R. Mitchell Jr. is a Cook County public defender. For me, what I thought was important was that people who could not afford to bail out, people who have jobs and are raising kids, who simply did not have the money for what would not be a serious crime, were sitting in jail for far too long awaiting trial, which we know in Cook County can take a bit. Also, what bothered me is that people who have a lot of money could commit a crime and bail out, knowing that, you know, it wasn't going to be an issue for them. There was going to be no financial impact. I know, yeah, those are layman terms. I know that's not how the Safety Act is written.
No, I think you're right on board. I mean, listen, I think the fact of the matter is that if you just were to build the system from the ground up, right, you were to make all the decisions right here, right now about how the criminal justice system works, nobody would say, okay, we're going to make the decision about who could come to jail, or who we would not be making a decision about what happens to a person after they've been accused of offense via money. Like, the idea that a judge is going to hear arguments and then set up a dollar amount, and then we don't really know if that person has the money or does have the money, like, that's not a good process. Whether you're a person who believes that the jail population is too big because it's filled with people who can't afford it, or you're a person that believes that there are not enough people in jail because people can buy their way out of the system, the idea that we're using money to make these decisions is just a really bad idea. So what I believe, and the reason why you've seen so many different people, not just like lefty criminal justice reformers like the Illinois Policy Institute or the Civic Federation or other organizations talk about how the PFA has seemed to work, is because it's not built on that money decision. It's built on looking at what's happening in the case and making a decision about what should happen to that person during the pendency of their trial. Now, it's an adversarial system, and sometimes prosecutors are going to want things, sometimes defense attorneys are going to want things, and sometimes there can be some conflict. But what we can agree to is that this system sets up a better process for making these really hard decisions. And there will be outliers, there will be things that we don't love, but the question is, what system works best? A system that includes cash bond a bunch of the time, i.e. depending upon money to make those decisions, or a system where we're looking directly at risk, the allegations, the person's background, so on and so forth.
Is there room for this law to be tweaked, in your opinion? Are there some changes that you would support that you think, well, you know, the intent was good, but if we could just tweak this, it might be better?
Listen, they built a really shiny, nice building in Springfield, Illinois, just for these reasons, right? We will always be tweaking laws, whether we're talking about, you know, tax policy, whether we're talking about criminal justice policy, whether we're talking about everything in between. I think that whether we believe it's a good idea or not a good idea, there are always going to be tweaks to the pretrial system. This was a giant change. But the thing I want to push back on is I think sometimes the opponents are like, oh, this is an experiment. We're going to, you know, this is a social experiment. It's not. It's just like a better idea to make these decisions based upon a set of clean, clear laws and risk, as opposed to guessing how much money somebody has in their pocket. Like, for instance, I've never been arrested, but I've paid a bunch of cash bonds of loved ones, a couple cousins, right? Because typically it's not even the person, right, who's accused is typically not the person bonding them out. It's typically a family member. Why are we, like, guessing how much money a family member may or may not put up when we're making these really important decisions? So, yes, they're always going to – people are going to be tweaking this law for decades and decades and decades and decades. But I think the fundamental changes have proven to be successful. I'm not going to act here and say, like, there are no problems. I'm not going to say that there are no outliers. But this is a better system to start from what we had in the past, where we were guessing about how much money people had in their pockets in half the cases.
And Sharon, that connected with me, and I think a lot of people, you're right. I've never been arrested, but I've bailed four or five people out because they didn't have the money, and you get that call at 2 or 3 in the morning, and you're like, okay, I'll do whatever I can. And sometimes you get paid back, sometimes you don't. So you're right about that. It's really not the person necessarily that's been charged that is paying that bail anyway. What has happened to bail bondsmen since then? Has that business kind of dried up?
Well, we are blessed in the sense in Illinois that we don't have we don't have bail bondsmen. We are one of, you know, four states that don't have them. But it is interesting, as this law was being decided, you saw, you know, the bail bondsman industry from other states come in and try to fight this law because they saw this as an existential threat to, I think, a business that is, I'm going to be very honest, pretty shady, right?
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I don't know if we would have had these changes if we had the bail bondsman industry, which is, you know, highly funded. You know, they have lots of access to resources. You know, they would have fought hard, you know, harder, you know, if they were already existing in the state. So, and that's one of the reasons why we were able to, you know, rid ourselves of cash bonds, because we didn't have that moneyed interest. And quite frankly, I think there would be more states that would get rid of cash bond if they didn't have that moneyed interest fighting for it. You know, I don't think cash bond is something that, like, people would agree is, like, the best thing to do. Again, if you are a lefty, if you're a righty, if you're, law enforcement forever, if you're the criminal justice system is racist, like, it's just not a good idea. And it's existed in our country, not because we thought of it as a great idea, but just because that's the way it started and that's the way we keep it because change is hard.
Yeah, it's been a change. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.